turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's interesting to note that scholars believe 1 Thessalonians was Paul's first epistle. If you're looking at it chronologically. This is the first one he wrote. It's got a lot of great information in it. It's fun sometimes just to pick it up and read it because it's not complex. A lot of Paul's writings seem to have a lot of run-on sentences, and they get very complicated, especially Romans. Thessalonians is pretty simple. Let's see if we can just grasp these words. Chapter 4. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God. Where was Thessalonica? It isn't in Israel. So the point I'm trying to make is in Paul's journey to this area, which is all, from our perspective, it's all very close. But Thessalonica is a long way from Jerusalem. And as people became Christianized and accepted the Lord through these missions trips, they had all these kinds of questions. How are we supposed to live? We got political rulers this way. We got money systems that way. We got faith systems competing this way. We got family traditions that are different. How or what are we supposed to do? Here's the answer. It would be really great if the UN would just sit down with the book of Thessalonians. It would be great if our Congress would just read it some morning. I would love to stand in the Congress and just read, dear brothers and sisters, let's live in a way that pleases God. Amen? I'll sit down. Do we know how to live? Do we have any clue of how to live in a way that pleases God? Well, here's one, verse 3. Be very careful. God's will, whose will? Which God? God Almighty? All right, so God Almighty's will is for who? You to be what?
Holy.
This really isn't that complicated. What is God's will for my life? God's will is that I live holy. And then he tells me to stay away from sexual sin. We have just, on day 2, which would have been Monday, Sunday we read Thessalonians. At the end of chapter 4, he says to encourage one another with these words. What words am I to encourage you with? I mean, I'm to encourage you to live in a way that pleases God. Right? What should you do when you leave here? You should live in a way that pleases God. When you meet other people, how should you encourage them? Hey, with God's help, we can live in ways that are pleasing to Him, or we can live in ways that are not pleasing to Him, which is just like that whole Israel thing that we talked about earlier. They either did or they didn't live in a way to please God. So today, the message is the same. Live in a way that pleases God and encourage one another like with these words. Now, someone then could say, okay, it's all new to me. This God business is all new to me. This God of yours that can provide everything, okay, how should I live? Oh, by the way, on Monday we're reading the book of Leviticus. Right? We've been reading in Leviticus. What is Leviticus all about? It's all about the rules for living. Come on, it's not hard to read. We read this week chapters 22, 3, and 4. It's all rules for living. And at the end of all the rules for living, as burdensome as some of that might be, that you have certain restrictions to do this or that, then he introduced all of the feasts and the festivals. Right. How many of you like to party? We love to have feasts and festivals. The Jews have a whole bunch of them. The Jews, the very people, Orthodox Jews, who are reading the book of Leviticus to this day and trying to follow these ordinances, are the very ones that have sprinkled all through their year celebration after celebration. It's kind of like a parent with a child saying, "You did it! Way to go! That season of fasting is over. Now we're going to celebrate." This is pretty good. God is not some mean bully that wants to deny you everything. He wants to bless us. Right. And we say, "God, we're selfish. We want your blessings." Well, here's how I want you to live. Then in our reading, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we got to the Kings, 2 Kings 21 to 25. If you read those chapters, you would have read about the story of a king named Josiah. It says that Josiah did what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Right. Can you see a continuum of thought in any of this? Right? How do I live? Here's how I want you to live. Josiah says, "Wow, okay, I'm going to live that way." And Josiah did what was pleasing in God's sight. What is it that Josiah did? The number one thing that Josiah did, it says, and we're not going to take all this apart today, but it says Josiah rediscovered, get that? Rediscovered the law. Where had the law been?
In the house of the Lord the whole time.
It had been buried away from the people and disregarded as they set up all new gods and worshipped at new altars and left the one true God for years. Then Josiah, through one of his priests, he discovered the law. He read the thing. Then he had the priest read the thing. And he said, "Folks, God is real. God is real. It says here, if we'll do these things, God will bless us. So as king, I'm saying we're going to do those things. Tear down those false idols. Tear down the Asherah pole. Get rid of all this junk and idol worship. Let's return the people to the Lord." Just, wow. Now today, New Testament believers, the believers in Jesus, the law is where?
Written in our hearts.
It's written in our hearts and in our minds. I love the New Testament says, get the mind of who?
Christ.
Skip Heine's mind is messed up. I get all kinds of thoughts. I war against my own self. Do you?
Yes.
But get the mind of Christ. Because he has poured out his spirit upon all flesh. He's made available to us. It's like that electric plug right by Kevin's head there. We can plug in to God's Spirit if we will.
Right.
We can deny ourselves a little bit of self-pleasure for the moment and plug into God. Wow! And he will begin to pour on us his knowledge, his wisdom, his grace, his love, his blessing. Or we can unplug and say, "Got it. Thanks for the recharge." And go right back to what we want to do. Then we move to the Psalms, some of which Steve had us singing about today. And we read, in just this week, we read of Moses' fear of the Lord. It explained in Psalm 90 why he feared the Lord. Oh my gosh, he feared the Lord because God was almighty. And then he decided, since he's going to follow God, this is what we'll do. This is how God will love us. Praise you, God. You'll do all these things for us. Proverbs, of course, if you didn't read this week's Proverbs, 14 and 15 chapters, but it's like reading 50 different lessons of life. Every one of them. Every single one of those Proverbs is a do this or that. Take your pick. Tell me how it works. We get to Ezekiel's reading. We finished with Ezekiel this week through the 48th chapter. And I just want to say, if you want reason to be thankful that Jesus Christ has come, you should read Ezekiel 43 to 48. It'll make you very happy that Christ has come. The city of Jerusalem is set apart. The land is set apart. It talks about the river. It talks about the new Jerusalem. And it says in 48:35, it concludes with these words, "The Lord is here." So when the times come that Irene was speaking about, when the new Jerusalem is established here, and the river is here, and the light is here, it will be said, "And the Lord is here." I think that, I mean, it ought to give you goosebumps. And then we finish the week with the Gospel of John, chapter 1, which begins with the words, "In the beginning." Okay, I did it. 11:30, I'm not over time. We solved every single Middle East problem. And we got right back to the beginning. And I just suggest, church, that each of us get back to the beginning. Who's your Lord and Savior? What has He done for you? What is He really asking of you? It's not what the church or the elders or the structure of religion is at. What is God Almighty really asking for? If He's asking you to go to East Africa and go into the Ebola zone to help people, fine. Then you won't be happy until you do that. If He's asking you to go work in a private Christian school on, you know, impossible wages, well, then He's asking you to do that. If He's asking you to start your own business and live hand to mouth for 40 years while your kids get blessed beyond your imagination, then that's what you do. And what is the point I'm trying to make as we close is, do we believe in God? Well, then what's He asking us to do? Because as soon as we get about doing the Father's business, it's amazing how He seems to show up and help us.
Amen.
Thank you. God, we do thank You today for Your great love. I thank You for Your word. I go back and forth through all these things saying, how did You put this together? How does this all make such wonderful sense? You speak to our hearts. You show us how to live. You correct us. You point out where we make mistakes. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your great love. I do pray that You would send Your Spirit to this people again, that You would just wash over us, O Lord, increase our faith. And while we have so many questions, help us first and foremost to be those who come to You. For so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.